Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
you cannot say. A beautiful poem written by Jay Hatter, and then even Shy got her hands on it and wrote some amazing music and then sang for us all, The Words You Cannot Say. This is Deborah Lee, and you are listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a radio group that hangs out at a site called allpoetry.com, which is free to join. And if you join or are already a member, you can look us up. You'll find us at the group tab, A Team of Voices, and I will meet you there at the door. And you can hang out with us, and you can follow along on the chat wall by clicking the links to the poems that we share. You can also call to participate at 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. We're here just about every night of the week, different show times, different hosts, different prompts. And if you're a member of the chat room, you can follow along easily by just looking up the date. And the show date will be the first thing you see, and then you click on it, and you will find out who that host is that night, what their prompt is. You can also add a poem link to the wall, and we can have you on the show. And on that note, We are involved. Oh, you know what? Another important thing. We are sponsored by the poet A.P. Taylor, one of our board members. And right now we are in the middle of a color series. And this week the color is white. And as usual, I put a bunch of art on the board. And whichever screamed the loudest to the poet's muse, they chose it. And they wrote poetry for us. And I'm looking forward to seeing. It always amazes me, the variety of poems and the directions people go in. And even now and then, a theme is accidentally started and didn't even realize it. So we shall see how tonight goes. And with that said, I got a line waiting, so let me let some people in. Well, let me start with our board members. We have our sponsor, A.P. Taylor, with us. Hello, A.P. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
Okay. How about you?
I'm okay, too.
Cool. And we also have my co-host, my big brother, Hatter. Hey, Hatter, glad you're here.
I am, too. Happy to be here.
And last but not least, as far as board members, we also have Sweet Pea here with us. And the four of us got the idea that we could produce radio shows, and here we are. Welcome to the show, Sweet.
Hello. How are you tonight, everybody?
Hanging in. How about you, doll?
I'm doing okay. I got one sick puppy, but the rest of us are doing great.
Aw.
Well.
That's sad. Okay, and right behind Sweet, we have Mr. David Prophet. Dave, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hi, Deb. I'm pleased to be here. In fact, it's the best thing I could be doing on a Monday night.
Well, I'm glad you think so.
Yeah, hey. It is.
Hatter.
Football season yet.
You're lucky I can't elbow you from here. And right behind Dave Prophet is Mr. Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the show. Glad you're here. Oh, I have to push the button. It's just spinning. Wayne, did it say on
yes.
Muted yet?
Good night. How's the gang doing tonight?
I'm doing okay.
Hey,
hoping you are too.
I'm doing fine. Doing fine. Great to be here.
So were you one of the many, 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 many people whose bracket was ruined by the upset?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about it. I think I got beat first game of season, first game of tournament. Man, it killed me.
Yeah, well, there was a collective gasp around the world of people who feel in the same way you are, crumbling up their brackets and throwing them in the circular file. So I feel for you. Okay, now, let me see here.
Hey, did you hear what happened in the women's championship bracket? Two of the teams had five members of their team, starters, kicked off, disqualified from the game they were playing in, and are disqualified to play the first game of the playoff in the championship. That's messed up. I don't know what happened. I saw him walking off the court being kicked off, but I don't know what they did. But, yeah, that's not a good thing, man. That had to be bad. Somebody did something bad. Five of them. But anyway, go ahead, Deborah.
Well, I had no idea. Yeah. All right, now we've got my Sweet with a sick puppy. So let's have you start us off, Sweet. I put your poem on the board, so take us away.
Okay, I will do so. I appreciate that because he's getting puppy nebulizers and everything. It's kind of rough right now.
Aww.
Yeah. This is Death of a Dandelion. Born in a bath of poison, nurtured in seeds of resentment, bullied by gardeners, the dandelion forges upward through the soil towards the sun and grows. Yellow shades of petal smiles in tight clusters, dotting lawns and meadows, while lanky lookout soldiers stand in random patterns alone. Tiny fingers pop heads from stems to hold buttercup buttons against skin. Giggles explode as amber shadows glow under dropping jaws and smiling chins. Bouquets of flaxen flowers and green stems mingle in childlike wide-eyed wonder and offer unblemished to be given to mothers, teachers, and grandmothers. A life of struggles and grandeur, the dandelion petals hollow, to diamond strands of white, waiting for its final hour. From the lips of a dreamer comes a whisper and a whoosh. A dandelion cries, granting the last wish of a stranger as it dies in poem.
Whoa. Wow, sweet. Okay, for one thing, you ended this leaving me feeling very sorry for that dandelion. And I was just saying earlier, we never know where people might go and stuff, and you kicked us off with a sad ending for the dying dandelion. And, you know, you get up and you pluck it out of the ground and you make your wish and you blow all the pieces through the air and you don't think about the fact that you just killed it. Geez. Now I'm thinking I'm a serial killer. Dandelion serial killer. My goodness. Oh boy. Tiny fingers pop heads from stems. What a visual. To hold buttercup buttons against their skin. Giggles explode and amber shadows glow under dropping jaws and smiling chins. So when you were saying the part about holding it under your chin, I could hear my dad saying to me, "Yep, you like butter. Did you do that too?" Like,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
If it glows, I mean, I don't think there's too many people that it doesn't glow on, but it was a cute concept as a kid, you know. Oh, you like butter? I like butter too, you know. But so I had this sweet, sweet image in my head for a minute or two, thinking about my dad asking me and what I would give to have him ask me right now if I liked, or tell me right now, actually, that, yes, I indeed like butter. Wow. Anyway, back to the sadness of the cries from the, granting the last wish of a stranger as it dies. That's killing me. Bouquets of flaxen flowers and green stems mingle in a childlike, wide-eyed wonder of our love unblemished to be given to mothers, teachers, grandmothers. I mean, like I said, you had this trip going, and I had these smiles and different thoughts, and then all of a sudden I was murdering dandelions, so it was very sad, but very amazing. Who'd have thought? Thanks, sweet. Love you, too. let me get you some comments here. AP, what you think?
Well, look, it's funny, because when you look around everything, you realize that we're sort of only here because we sort of go and maul most of the rest of the natural world, and we don't really give much thought about it. And you know, I think this was a poem of perspective. It was a beautifully written poem about perspective, but a poem about perspective. And if you're at the bottom of the food chain, well, sorry. Next. Really well written, though.
Thank you. I think we're beating up on the dandelion from the start. I mean, born in a bath of poison, there's been seeds of resentment, you know?
That's it. One way or another.
Jeez, okay, great comment. And Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, born in a bath of poison. Where's your head been? every time I see a you guys call them flowers or puffs, but dandelion puffs, whatever they call them, flowers.
Yeah.
The look on a young child when they first know, they kick in to blow it. They get up real close and they suck in real fast. Mm-hmm. Look on their immediate look on their face is the best. And I laugh every time I see it.
I agree. Wow. They're great.
Great comment. And Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I said, yay. I've learned about 50 this last week. There's nothing much worse than a dandelion. Your poem is sad to some, but I am the mass murderer of the weed. Every time my kids blow him, I want to go get my gun. The one blows about 40 seeds throughout the yard. And I used to eat dandelions, and when I was in the Boy Scouts, we had to eat dandelions one night to stay alive. To get American. That's the only thing good about dandelion I know of. But your poem was great. It was sad. I didn't have much feeling for the dandelion, but I almost shed a tear. But anyway, dandelions are terrible. What's next? Is poison ivy or Johnson grass? Good job, everybody.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And David, what do you think?
Oh, gee whiz. You almost had me in tears here all for just a dandelion, Sam. Wow. Yeah, the last stanza really got me, you know. But on a little different note, if you go on YouTube and watch some of these craft people, they take these dandelions and they put them in a vase or some sort of a container like a mold, and they fill it up with clear resin, and then once it gets up there, they put it in a thing called a pressure pot, and it gets all the bubbles out of there. And then they'll put this thing on a lathe and turn it down into a round globe, and they'll put a little light in the bottom of it, and then it sits on this little platform. You turn it on and it lights this thing up. It looks as cool as hell. And I thought that'd be kind of fun to do that one of these days. But yeah, that's a beautiful poem. It really is, and it shows how much imagination that you have by putting it together this way. Wow. I'm really impressed. It's a beautiful poem. Beautiful.
Thank you so very much.
Great comments, everyone. Now, my sweet, before we move further, do you want to go ahead and tell us what's happening Thursday?
Absolutely. I am actually doing part two of last week's show. We had so much fun on last week's show, but we hardly covered any of my myths, legends, and monsters. So if you missed out on myths, legends, and monsters, I would really like you to go back and join or write another poem, because there's a list of 30 of them. They are fascinating. They are amazing. They are scary. So we're going to do week two of that, and I really encourage anybody to go back and look. There's the one I know that AP is very fascinated with, and I'm going to challenge him on that one to write a poem about him. I think somebody, when you left air, said they challenged you to an acrostic to write that name, and I thought, wow, that's crazy, but I'm not going to make that challenge to you. Just about him, just because it's so much fun. And if you haven't picked one, go back, pick one, and just have a good time with it. So Thursday night is part two of the myths and legends and monsters. So come join us, have a good time. It's going to be just fabulous.
It sounds like a lot of fun. I hope Remington feels better quickly, and thank you for calling. And
you're welcome.
Yes, I'll let you know when a contest is chosen, and I'll talk to you later. All right?
Thank you. Thank you guys very much, and I'm going to take care of my little creepy baby.
Love and respect.
Love and respect, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Now, Hatter, who's reading? Are you reading your own poem today?
Yeah, I'm ready. So I don't know. Let me see if I can find my reading glasses. Yeah. Did you try to go?
I'm sorry. There was some kind of noise. I didn't hear what that. Who's okay? Here's the deal. Hatter's poem's on the board. Who's reading?
Oh, okay. AP, you want to read it?
Yeah, happy to, Hatter.
It'll be better than the reading.
Okay. So I think you were talking about this one, and you said you weren't 100% sure about it, but this is Talking Smack About a One-Eyed Cat by Jay Hatter, and it goes a little bit like this. As the story is told, a mouse so bold, some say he's just a big rat. Hitting the weights was no mistake. He fears no one-eyed cat chasing down critters that enter the house, so has decided to eat the three-eyed mouse, her plan to make one big steak, then cook him like she had dreamed. Sautéed and fried, she would eat his three eyes dipped in a butternut cream. Her eye couldn't believe how big the rat be, shadows as large as a house. She pauses to say, maybe not today. That is no little ass mouse. Maybe a cow that got out somehow. It may be a big boned pig. She swears it forever and that she has never seen anything quite that big. Acme's a business that sells stuff at Christmas, but today it won't be wrapped. She bought a thing that looked like bling, a devious trap for a rat. One eye on its prey, she's certain today she'll eat like a queen by dawn. She sets up the trap that will catch a big rat, then smiles and hides away. During the night, she turns on the light, only to see it had failed. Footprints nearby suggest it had tried, but had come back the foot of a whale. The rat took his time, the trap redesigned. It's now a house for a very big mouse. What did she take from her mistakes? And where is that oversized rat? She retired to be footloose and free, and the mouse with the house is running for the presidency. Now I understand this got out of hand. Forgive me and my runaway verse. It's not how I planned it. I cannot stand it. I've never read anything worse. Ben Palm.
Thank you. I forgot I was supposed to take that off.
Great read. And I kind of like that you wrapped it up like that. It was how you were feeling. Okay. Let's start with the Hatter rhyme, which is always on. But I saw that beautiful picture, and I did wonder if you would take it, Hatter, because, you know, you got your kitties running around there. But I definitely was not expecting this. Her plan to make one big steak, then cook him like she had dreamed. Oh, boy. Sautéed and fried, he would eat his three eyes dipped in butternut cream. I don't know. Doesn't sound very appetizing. Woo! And then
it came so close to self-destructing. It came so close to self-destructing. I wrapped it up and just, what was it? Because there was a verse that described the rat as having three eyes because the cat only had one. So that last verse didn't make a lot of sense. That verse beat my eyes. Sorry about that.
Yeah, but the back and forth and the different directions. I mean, we had Acme's business that sells stuff at Christmas, and all of a sudden I'm thinking that at any time now, Wile E. Coyote's going to drop a boulder on top of the poor cat. And then you have you mentioned Christmas, and there's rats and cows. She'll eat. Where'd the queen go? I know there was a queen somewhere. She'll eat like
queen
a queen by dawn. Yeah, it's like it was fun. It looks like you just let yourself loose and just had some fun with it. And how can it be wrong? And you.
Well, the way AP made it sound so good. Thank you, AP.
Well, he does that a lot. But you made you obviously did have fun, because when you come to the end of your own poem and giggle, I think that's pretty cool, and you definitely did, out loud. So, fun. What do you think, AP? Great read, by the way.
Thank you.
Because the nice thing about it is it was unpredictable. You didn't quite know where it was going to go next, and it was sort of like a
cracker exploding, and it sort of followed different dimensions of different bits of the cracker going as it went in different places, and then it sort of finished at the end with a, you know, very nice holistic sort of picture of the world as it was before it all exploded. And so I actually really like this one, Hatter. I know that maybe it's not your favourite, but I actually think it's really quite cute.
Well, the way you read it, it's so much better. Thank you for reading.
Oh, well, thank
you. Great comment. And David?
Oh, this was great. Had me laughing and put a smile on my face the entire time I had or was reading it. I'm sorry. I like this last stanza down here. It's priceless. Now I understand this got out of hand. Forgive me in my runaway verse. It's not how I planned it. I cannot stand it. I've never read anything worse. I have read lots of stuff that's way worse than this, Hatter. So, but seriously, this is great. Your writing meter is always perfect, you know, and that's this poem is really great. Made me feel good tonight, so that's the main thing, you know, is making people feel good, put a smile on their face, make them think. That's what we're supposed to do, and you did it with this one. Well done.
Well, I'll tell you what, AP, that would have been a tough one for even me to read, and you did it so well.
Yeah, you did.
The way you read it, the couple places that it changed, you couldn't even notice it, because there is two that I would have tripped on. One didn't rhyme, wasn't in the meter, and the other was a tenth thing, I think. It just you did it well, so. Thanks, AP, and thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Adam.
And Wayne?
Yes, Dave stole my last stanza I was going to recite, but it's all right. You've heard already. This is about a one-eyed cat and a three-eyed mouse. The cat wanted a big rat. The rat was smart and pulled the cat from the start. I think I vote for the rat. It's better than all the other rats that turned up the presidency. It's who we vote for. It's a wonderful rhyme in this poem. J. Hat writing about a cat that wanted a rat. Cool poem. I loved it. Good job, J. Hat.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome. Welcome. Comment. All right. If you guys click on Titus's poem, I will push his recording. And this is one of his Earth Angel pieces, which brings him to a total of 161 poets that he's gave a tribute to. What an accomplishment. Anyway, you guys click that.
How long has he been a member? Wow, how long has he been a member?
Was here when I got here. Since 2008, January 2008. Yeah. Wow. Okay, click on his, and I'm headed to the studio to push play. And here we go.
Phosphorus, morning star. Wishing to be that girl from the dark, her remark it was duly noted. What the mirror was now telling, then what my own eyes do see, it lit the first spark. Wish through the dawn with my eyes now welling, change for the better. Whether or not this, Signora, taking you out of your safety zone, the love in a mist, doth spray overhead as Greek gods adorn the tiara, fitted with moonbeams, her reflection sun-kissed. The best of both worlds feature the morning star across the sky. Her lowly plane is due to raise high the hopes and dreams of anyone. From oh so far, hung do silver clouds reveal, so deep was her sigh. Now that would be telling how once a pale heart became warm. It was said it came from her mother, Eos, goddess of the dawn, who adorns our upstart gatherings of silk, like milk and honey do smother. Phosphorus, her name, she would chiefly explore from afar the acceptance of others as in her class. It's safe to say the dew will exalt to tears and more. Chiffon layers do conform, a majesty of gods alas, appearing in the northern sky, signaling the rebirth of longer days, as winter once again brings to wane. As torchbearer, the end of the tunnel where Earth is situated, there its orbit lies, now her star domain.
Wow. I love the ending there. Yeah. Appearing in the northern sky, signaling the rebirth of longer days as winter once again brings the wane. As torchbearer, the end of the tunnel where Earth is situated, there its orbit lies. Now her star domain. And there's beauty and sort of sadness too. Usually when you when a star is the domain, the person's no longer here. And I don't see any notation that that's the case, but it's how it made me. When my mom died, my siblings and I put our money together, and I know it's just a token, but we bought a star and named it after my parents because my mom died just before their 50th wedding anniversary. So that's why I got the sadness from it, because now the star is both of their domain.
Can you pick it out? You know which star it
yes.
is?
Yes, I do. I have
okay,
the coordinates.
Cool.
Yeah.
Everybody should do that. Go out in the sky and pick a star and find it every night. Come on.
You can go to Google Earth and feed in the coordinates, and it'll zoom in on your star once you get the certificate.
Oh, wow.
That's what we took him out to dinner that night, and we gave him the certificate framed of the star that was named after them. And, like I said, just short of 50 years. Anyway, before I go get myself into tears here, the best of both worlds feature the morning star across the sky. Her lowly plane is due to raise high the hopes and dreams of anyone from oh so far. Hung do silver clouds reveal so deep was her sigh. And in that one, you can just imagine looking up there and just being overtaken by the beauty and grandeur and how small you can feel when you're looking up at all those stars. But this is gorgeous. And I know we say this when he brings them, but it's because it's just so true. The dedications that he's written to, as I said in the beginning, 161 different poets, is so impressive, so touching. And I know quite a few of the people who have been written for, myself included, and it's like, you know, I don't know of any of the guys that cried, but quite a few of us chicks cried when he did this. It's just such a touching thing, and then to be part of such a big collection, it's an honor, and it's beautiful work. Another great one, Tony. Thank you so much. AP, what do you think?
Yeah, look, it's always difficult to keep a sense of wonderment and beauty about the world, and to actually see people as part of that is really quite special, and that's what Titus does. He gives you this canvas of possibility, in this case the stars and the night sky, and then he places the special person he's talking about within it and does it with great delicacy and great care. And he honours those people that he writes about in his own distinct way, and this is another great example of that, Ted.
I agree, yeah, great comment. And Wayne?
Yes, this is a wonderful poem, and the recording was well done. I love the rhyme in this poem. He rhymes better in this poem than he does in most of his poems. I know Phosphorus is beaming with pride. It has great flow, and I like the part about appearing in the northern sky. That was cute. And he made her a star in more ways than one. It's very detailed and very, very sweet poem. And I couldn't get over Titus write a poem about me. I was like the highlight of my life as a poet, is him write a poem about me. So I was tickled to death with him. He's a hell of a guy.
Great comment, Wayne. And Dave?
Oh, boy. Where do I start with something like this? Man, what a masterpiece. I found myself riveted to just about every line in this poem. I wasn't, you know, backing up away from it at all at any time. I was amazed that he manages to write this, and it almost sounds like it's in a open verse, but it's not. You know, you get to the end of the lines and you see the words that rhyme there, and that kind of blows me away. I have a tough time doing one or the other and not putting both of them together. I thought this was a really interesting storyline too. I really appreciate women in general, not just for the regular reasons that a man likes a woman. I mean, I appreciate the way they think and all that stuff. And I think Tony's captured that in this poem as well, a little bit. And it is a beautiful poem. It's really, really took my breath away. I was amazed.
Great comment, David. And Mr. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, every time he breaks one of these out, I'll get to read one. It reminds me of when I got mine. I think I became aware of these poems that he's writing like a week before mine was presented to me. Putting classes of the place up big time, and this is a great thing. I can't believe that many, 180, he said?
161.
61, huh? Very good, Tony.
Yeah. All right, thank you so much. Okay, now we have Wayne's on the board, and if you guys click on, I will push his recording. Mm-hmm. Go.
This is called Memories in the Snow by Wayne Gent. The contentment of a white blanket of snow and the sound of the stream with a smooth flow. Watching morning sunlight fight with the chill. See the ice cover limbs are hanging still. Spend solitude of a quiet days with no heat on. Reminiscing about you and years we've grown. Life changes like the white snow been blown. Miss hearing your voice on the telephone. White carpet outside has shadows dancing. Blinking goldenrod rays looking for romancing. Trickle of the stream now starting to rise. While chilled tears roll off the roof as it dries. Looks like the doe and fawn have overslept. No quest in the white world or in the depth. As snow retreats under the warming sun, I keep dreaming of days when we'll be as one. Sit and stare at the glowing hill with reflective light, remembering moments as your shining white night. roads to be cleared and phone lines repaired. Thank God I have all the memories we shared. Ian?
Well, you know, I was surprised at how many people took the snow pictures. And I wondered where you'd go, Wayne. And I love that first line, the contentment of a white blanket of snow. And if you're, to me, if you're in somewhere safe and sound and warm and you can just observe the beauty, then it's pretty content. And there's something about this picture that's just so amazing, and you could just get lost in it. And you have the sound of the stream with a smooth flow. Watch the morning sunlight fight with the chill to the ice-covered limbs or hanging still. You just set the tone and the scene just as beautifully as the picture itself. Reminiscing about you and years we've grown, life changes like the white snow'd been blown. Where was that? Looks like the doe and fawn have overslept. No quest in the white world or in the depth. I mean, I like how you brought in the doe and her fawn, and while chilled tears roll off the roof as it dries. Just very unexpected. And then at the end there, roads to be cleared and phone lines repaired. Thank God I have all the memories we have shared. It was like a mix of nostalgia and awe of what's around you.
A Glenn Campbell song. I am running through the county. A Glenn Campbell song. I'm sorry, Dad. I thought it was me when I said that.
And then you broke out the song. But no, I this is beautiful, Wayne. And the background music had its own sense of leading you towards contentment. Listening to it, it was like, you know, one of those things at the end you sigh. Mm-hmm. So thanks for the sigh. Beautiful, right?
Great comment. Appreciate it.
David?
Oh, Wayne, you never let me down, man. You never do. And this was no different. This kind of reminded me of some of the weather we had about 2 weeks ago up here in Oregon. You know, all of the trees had quite a bit of snow on them, and there was five, six inches on the ground. It's kind of funny when it does that because it gets real quiet outside. And I think that's because the snow absorbs a lot of that random noise and reflected noise and stuff. And it's just only one can hear a pin drop outside. And I kind of got that feeling with this particular poem. I like the stanza, the third stanza down. White carpet outside has shadows dancing, blinking goldenrod rays, looking for romancing. That's cool the way you did that one. Trickle of stream now starting to rise while chilled tears roll off the roof as it dries. I like that, using that metaphor of tears for the ice water that runs off of the roof. I had great giant 3-foot-long icicles on my back porch, but... It's pretty neat, man. This was really nice. Hey, I liked it. You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Hatter?
Yeah, I write the songs. Where's that? shoot. It's very observational the way you write. I mean, it's nice to hear. It's refreshing, and it. I always don't know what can come from your pen. I mean, when we start reading, it sometimes amazes me. And sometimes, that's a good thing. I'm just sort of anticipating something. If you don't know when you're going to throw that wrench in there. And
I never know what's coming out of it either. Start out and it ends up.
Very entertaining. Very good.
Great comment. And AP, can you comment for Wayne and then show us what you got?
Yeah. Surely. Yeah, look, it's interesting because this sort of reads like a sort of almost a sort of flight of fancy or a dream. You've got yourself into a particular headset of being really super calm and relaxed, and then the words sort of tumble out. And you wouldn't think that they would work, but they do, because they come from this sort of headset of reflective peace and of calm and of insight. And I love the way that you set the poem up. The last stanza is fantastic.
Well, thank you, Abby. Good comment.
And real quick before you start reading, you know how I had just pointed out that Titus had 161 Earth Angel poems? Well, the numbers obviously in my face tonight, because Wayne's poem is 161 words. So 161.
Ooh, wow.
Interesting.
That's cool.
Oh, no.
Cool.
You start seeing those numbers everywhere you look. Yeah.
I know, right? All of a sudden. Well, AP, take us away.
Okie doke. This is Clouds Are But Wisps. And it goes a little bit like this. Clouds are but wisps around as skies brew, their shimmering white rails gathering in two. Tentacles they reach as circling through, where all colours are such, in casting upon blue. Those spidery tentacles reaching upwards at first view, gather in the icy reaches as soft delicate forms brew. The pinnacles of frosty churches reach spirals of packed that sail fluffy through the skies with a texture skittish as new, until the winds they do tease as the sun stares in two, and rain falls lightly before shadows take their leave too. End poem.
Gorgeous. The painting that you put with it works really, really well because of the clouds that you put in there. So that's really cool. And I like the way it sits on the page and sort of trickles down. It looks really pretty. And I love that they're shimmering white rails gathering into tentacles they reach as circling through where all colors are such and casting upon blue. That just reads beautifully. And then I like the thought of the spidery tentacles reaching upwards. These are all like things that you're, say, plucking out of the sight of the shapes in the clouds. And the fluffy sail fluffy through the sky with a texture skittish and new. Just really clever wording that makes it so gorgeous. And what was that one? At the end. And rain falls lightly before shadows take their leave too. I just like the way you worded this all the way through. And you can take those wisps and shimmers and tentacles and find them in your painting, which is really, really cool. And it looks good attached to this poem. So, great share.
That's it.
Dave, what do you think?
Oh, boy. I really like this, AP. I think you did a really fine job of describing the picture you have here. It's really chilling about, you know, the way the clouds work. If you've looked at them as much as I have, because I used to go hang gliding all the time. We used to look up in the air constantly to see what the clouds were doing, and they were telling us what was going on, basically, whether to stay home or go to the site. Anyhow, I like this intermediate stanza here. It says, those spidery tentacles reaching upwards at first view gather in the icy reaches as soft, delicate forms brew. That's pretty neat. I like the way you said that. And that's the way clouds are. You know, of course, we've all watched them. But I thought this was really, really interesting the way you worded this. I have to agree with Deb with that, what she said about it. It's a great poem, really is. I liked it very much.
Thanks, Doug. Thank you.
And Hatter?
When we went to school, we had lunch boxes with themes on it. What was yours, AP?
I can't remember. Hatter, at primary school or high school? I can sort of remember what I ate at high school, but I don't like the,
any. Right. So, I guess 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Maybe. I don't remember, but it's a good guess. It's the same time. I mean, I've always had something for blue. So.
You know, and that's something I wanted to do. I was looking forward that we weren't able to do when I was down there, was go to the beach, to the ocean.
You're right, though. I've always had something for blue, and this is a sort of blue. It's a blue poem. Yeah.
Hey, can you, from the southern coast, you can see Tasmania, can you? Can't you?
Oh no!
It's that far away. Okay.
Oh wow. Yeah. It's about a 45-minute sort of flight. About 300 mile away. Yeah.
The map doesn't do it justice because it doesn't show that.
Yeah, no, further away. Yeah.
Yeah. Good piece, AP. Could be thinking.
No, thanks.
Awesome comment. And Wayne?
Yeah, this is a second poem tonight that Dave stole my stanza out of that I was going to read. And he did a good job with that. But this is a wonderful read and great, lovely poem. I love the rhyme, the flow. And it looks like there's clouds with rain falling out of them or something, the way it's wrote. And like I said, I like the line, the spiky tentacles reaching upwards at a first view, gathered in icy reaches as a soft, delicate forms brew. This is a cool metal poem. It's at the calm view. And I like a whole lot there. And Dean did a good job with this.
Thanks, Juan. Cheers.
Awesome comment. And did I mess up the order, Dave? Did I already get you to comment?
Yep.
Okay, then your poem is on the board. Will you go ahead and read for us? And then AP is going to read for Addie.
Okay, I didn't quite know what to make of this guy or girl. I don't know what sex it is. So I included both of them in here. This is called The Pale God of Aftermath. Unisexual God of Aftermath, its overtones in alabaster, stares in yellow, pale yellow wrath, like a fired bandmaster. No longer croons their pickup lines with those split tongues in male or female impediment, winds its countenance down into old reruns, dissonant minor keys in hoarded metric tons, spoken words that flee with oblique angled suns, so tangled up and twisted, those lies mixed with truth, in the pyramid text so listed, segues ham-fisted sleuths, hit you like a velvet sledgehammer right in the teeth, but only if you check the grammar, nonsense spoken underneath, the bridge of truth, those gamma-ray photons, slow their stunted use, forever frozen in immutable bronze, fell out the back door of the short bus, God of Aftermath, the bus driver, and still no one made a fuss, drowns in the Mekong Delta River. And so I called out to my queen, O dark mother, who is this stunted slime, whose fetid breath is so obscene, his gestures akin to a pornographic mime? David, my man, I shall attend to him or her, pay them no mind, Look not into those yellow eyes. Gamma ray bursts from neutron stars that were this infernal stigmatism, their only prize. For there are many in their legions. I shall run them off the edge of a cliff, gathered in all those interstellar regions, these stunted children falling into a galactic cosmic rift. And so the Dark Mother smote the god of the aftermath asunder as their functions approach asymptote, his limits approaching zero under their fading x-axis and cosine, and they became mute, and I found myself in all my yesterdays riding on the backs of giant ravens headlong into the future as the Dark Mother showed me her only way. End of poem.
Her only way, huh?
Yeah. She's got lots of ways. That she was just fibbing, Deb.
She definitely has lots of ways, and you've been sharing them for years now, right?
Yeah.
She's one of the most in-depth characters ever, and she goes on some adventures with you, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where is the velvet? Hit you like a velvet sledgehammer, right in the teeth. Only if you check their grammar, nonsense spoken underneath. But the thought of the velvet sledgehammer is so cool. And the other part that got me, fell out the back door of the short bus, god of aftermath, the bus driver, and still no one made a fuss. That just seems so sad. You fought the bus and nobody even cares. And so I called out to my queen, oh, Dark Mother, who's this stunted slime whose fetid breath is so obscene, his gesture akin to a pornographic mime? There's just something ridiculously funny about the thought of a pornographic mime. I'm just trying to some of the visions of what they could do to get the point across without speaking they made me giggle. Oh, boy. Some of the stuff you guys come up with cracks me up. And then, for there are many in their legions, I shall run them off an edge of a cliff gathered in all these interstellar regions, these stunted children falling into a galactic cosmic rift. I think that she might have been a little angry right there. It's just, I think you had some fun with this.
I did.
In the beginning. Let me go back to that beginning. Unisexual God of Aftermath. Wow, what a title. I had to think about that one for a while. Unisexual God of the Aftermath. I don't know why. I was tickled. It was cracking me up in a whole bunch of different spots. Hoarded metric tons. There was just the details. When you take us on these adventures, you make sure that we know the sights around us and the scents around us, and just even the feelings, and you know, whether it's she is in a loving mood or she's in the mood to protect her man, which is the case here. I just love the many adventures of the Dark Mother.
Yeah, she's fun.
And we all enjoy listening, but the most important thing is the amount of joy that you get from writing about her, Dave. And you definitely have over the years.
I'm curious of what pornographic motion you have envisioned.
Well, make a circle with one of your hands and figure out the rest by yourself.
There you go.
Gotcha.
Got it. Okay.
That rattling thing. Okay.
Yeah, that's something that a mime could easily use to let you know that there was a little action going on. Just saying. But no,
Okay.
I definitely lost track of how many homes that the Dark Mother's in. Do you know, David?
What's that? Oh, God, I don't know, Deb. Must be at least 100, at least.
Probably better
counting
the ones there she's not.
Easy to count the ones she's not.
Yeah. She's in most of the stuff that's scientific or or, I don't know, out there a little bit, fiction, science fiction, she's usually in that. So I've got a little over 1,800 poems on the site, so she's in a bunch of those. I don't know exactly how many. I should look that up, but...
Yeah, I could easily believe that it's a minimum of 100. I was just curious. You really should have a Dark Mother folder, and then people could sit down and
dive in. I'm just going to go look at it here. Let's see, see if I can give you an idea of how many poems I've got in there. Let's see, Universe, the Dark Mother, there we go. Well, there's only showing 9 of them here, but that's just purely dedicated to her. That's not what's with another storyline in it. So I know there's a whole bunch of poems that, like this one here, with her written into them, you know, so.
Well, if you ever get a count, I'd be curious to hear.
Okay.
Wayne, what do you think?
Well, Dave, it's a good poem. You rhyme more in this poem than you do most of your poems. I like that a whole lot. And I thought there was going to be a fight between he, she, and the Dark Mother, but Dark Mother kick her ass. She wouldn't have a chance. For the bust of the statue, she sure had a bad breath. And they say, great flow, great storyline. And tell the Dark Mother I said hi, and I loved it. Great job.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And AP, can you comment for David and then read for Addie, please?
Surely. Well, they said for many years that all great poems come from the Greek, and that this, of course, reminded me of one of the Greek sort of myths, and that was the myth of Medusa. And this particular thing went and turned you into bronze, and Medusa, of course, turned you into stone. But, you know, whether you're in bronze, whether you're in stone, either way, really. And so it sort of had this sort of sense of the myth of Perseus at the same time that it had that sort of Dave sort of overview of Dark Mother plus a whole heap of sort of scientific stuff thrown in for the journey. And, you know, you wouldn't think it would work, but it does. Dave makes it work. I don't know how he does it, but he does. And this is another great piece.
Thanks, AP. Thank you.
Great comment. And I put Addie's on the board, please.
Okie pokey. So let me just refresh my screen here. And this is Closed Door by Addie Bookworm, and it goes a bit like this. The door in front of you is closed, not securely affixed. It has the lock and you have the key. Are you waiting for the right fortune? You feel what I mean. It holds so many unseen. The room is darkened. Behind the door lies a light, quiet. Don't let fear freeze your mind, leaving a mark. You have hope. You have light illuminating the dark. Stand at the closed door, see your inner child's dreams. It waits for you to win the fight, to soar to a new height. The dreams you've seen your whole life, now's the time to hold them tight to end the strife. With trembling hands, insert the key and swing the door wide. Banish fear's shadow, let your dreams reside, and make this haven a sanctuary of pride. In poem.
Thank you. And I'm trying to grab her art and so I can put, there it is. Okay. So another unexpected direction, take a peek on the board and you'll see the art that she wrote too. But I like the closed door title there. The door in front of you is closed, not securely affixed. It has a lock and you have the key. Are you waiting for the right fortune? You feel what I mean? It holds so many unseen. The room is darkened. Behind the door lies the light, quiet. I think that the thought of the, like there's an opening there, but I would have never thought to go with the door, but it's like a door into winter in the scene there. Don't let fear freeze your mind. So I like how she used the winter words, like, you know, freezing your mind and have the light illuminating the dark. And the dreams you've seen your whole life, now the time to hold them tight, the end, to end the strife. Let your dreams reside and make this haven a sanctuary of pride. So I thought it was a very different way to go. And there was like a mixture of joy and a little bit of non-confrontational fear that might be there, not sure what to do. But you have hope. You have light illuminating the dark. So I like the message in it. I think she did a nice job. AP, you read, what you think?
Yeah, look, you're always, when you're reading a poem, and I haven't read it before, you're looking for that sort of sense of underlying the poem. And for me, there was that sort of sense of an obstacle, but sitting behind that optimism and hope. And I think for me, that's what sort of came out of the poem, was that sense of optimism and hope, and that's always a poem that I'll appreciate.
Great comment. And
and I'm going to disappear with that comment, Deb, so thank you to everybody, and we'll talk a little bit later on.
Later,
AP. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Love
it.
Hatter, you want to comment?
I'm sort of unloading the car for joy. Yeah, pass me this time.
No problem. Wayne?
Hey, yes, I like this poem. When she put the guy or person she's talking to behind the door, locked behind the door, and she's telling him to come up behind the door, don't let your mind freeze. That he limits the dark. She's real proud of him, and he's hidden behind the door. I like what she, the whole poem, but she brought him out. It's a very good metaphor. It's poetic, right? Good poetic, right? And AP read magic into the words the way he read it. He read it with great cadence and made it point twice as good as he really is, because he read good. Nice job, and you have to let your dreams reside. And I like that part of the poem too. Good job.
Awesome comment. And, okay, Dave had to go. Something was going on at the house. So we will leave that, and I will... maybe I'll grab my poem. I think mine's short. I'm just fascinated by the it's called Luke. Yeah, I can't say it now. Luxistic, and it's different than albino, where an albino would be all white, and you would know that they were albino because they would have pink eyes and pink fingernails and stuff. But the leucistic is all white, but only because there's an absence of pigment. And some of the animals that have... Sometimes what they call a flaw, which is the lack of color, can be so stunning. And look at this peacock with his feathers spread, and it's just gorgeous. So my poem is called Leucristic Brilliance. And here we go. Arrogant peacock. Iridescence lost. Colors redundant. His wings look like frost. Pale, pigmented quills, soft feather and tail. Impressive plumage, intricate detail. Powdery train spread, magnificence glut. Courtship ritual, expanded to strut. And it was just a brevity that I wrote because I wanted people to see that there was a difference between the albino and the leucristic. And this is an Indian peacock, and he right now is in full-fledged seduction mode. And they snapped a picture as he was trying to seduce a lady peacock. And look how gorgeous he is. Anyway, too cool. And if I don't let Wayne comment, he'll yell. Wayne, you want to comment? Still there? I don't hear anybody.
Yeah, here I am. Yeah, here I am. I think I get my screen back. I couldn't find you.
I thought I lost the screen.
This is a nice little brevity about your peacock. I enjoyed it a whole lot. It was over before I already got into it too much. I was getting into it and nothing ended. So it ended kind of quick, but you did a great job of this. Great description. And I like it a whole lot. Good job. I lost the screen. I couldn't find you for a while. Great job. You there, Deb?
Yes, yeah, sorry. I was talking to the mute button. Thank you for the great comment. And I just wanted to, like I said, to bring attention to the fact that a flaw or an error could be gorgeous. Another example would be, I don't know if anybody has seen them yet, but there are now yellow cardinals, and they are beautiful. It's a bold, gorgeous, gorgeous sunshine yellow. But the thing about that is that it's a flaw in the pigments in cardinals, and it's a side effect from pollution that they've lost the ability to turn red. But in that loss, they've come up with gorgeous yellow feathers. So, you know, sometimes a flaw can lead to something beautiful. And that was just the point I was trying to make with that little brevity. I accidentally unmuted this thing here. Okay. I'm just batting 1,000 here with this. All right, now, let me see. Oh, Hatter, are you back? Hatter? Okay, he must still be helping Joy.
Yes.
There you are. Okay.
Yes.
I am going to grab the poem that Gerald sent in and add that to the board. Find a team of, there it is, okay, team of voices. And although he put the picture of the guy with the cupcake here that you'll see, there was a tray full of really pretty cakes, which I would love to have one of right now, just saying. But you guys click on his poem, and I will go push play. Let's see what Gerald has for us this week.
Yummy, written and read by Gerald Green. I want to have that cupcake. I'll settle for a sliver. Don't tell my wife, she'll only gripe about my fatty liver. Just step aside and let me by. I'll eat an ounce or less. If you don't tell and are discreet, I'll not have to confess. A little sugar now and then, what harm can such a morsel do? She'll think it is a major deal and fuss about an ounce or two. My doctor hates cholesterol. Triglycerides are even worse. He reads my chart and never smiles and ends his lecture with a curse. You'd think a cupcake was a gun, the way I'm treated like a thief. And when it comes to what I weigh, it only adds to stress and grief. Come on, allow me just this time a little nibble for the road. No harm will come from one mouthful. My glucose count will not explode. It won't affect my appetite. It won't affect my appetite. My hormones are all right. Nor will this cupcake hurt my health. So let me have a little bite.
You know, I really, really like where he took that. I found myself laughing at the thought of the doctor yelling at him for having that cupcake. And like, you know, okay, you think of a cupcake and you think of, you know, a little cupcake size, normal, delicious thing that, you know, yeah, you probably shouldn't have because it's got the sugar and whatnot. But look at the cupcake in the picture that he put there. It's like truly a miniature cake. That it cracked me up. But a little sugar now and then, what harm can such a morsel do? She'll think it's a major deal and fuss about an ounce or two. And then I like, my doctor hates cholesterol. Triglycerides are even worse. He reads my chart and never smiles. It ends his lecture with a curse. I would have to say that he probably has a pretty good relationship with his doctor if his doctor's comfortable enough to curse at him. Or at least I hope so, because if my doctor was cursing at me and I didn't have an established relationship with him, he wouldn't be my doctor very long. It struck me funny. And you would think that the cupcake was a gun the way he treated me like a thief. I thought this was really clever, and it won't affect my appetite. My hormones are all right. It's just really a fun read, and I appreciate where he took the cupcake. Thank you very much, Gerald. Wayne, what you think?
All I know is I want a piece of that dessert. The cupcake looks great. He's holding it for the cupcake is sweet to me. I'm always eating something sweet. And I said, go ahead, Gerald, eat the whole thing. It'll be worth it. But save me a bite or two. This is a very sweet poem. I'm headed to the fridge for some ice cream right now. Great job.
You can blame Gerald. It's your fault. Wayne's on his way to get some ice cream, because he doesn't happen to have a cupcake, and you set his sweet tooth to scream in there. Cool comment, Wayne. And stay safe in that storm. Hatter, what you think?
I'll be back in a few minutes.
Well, I don't know if I'll still be here,
yeah.
Wayne. I only have one more after this.
Okay. Well, I'll see y'all later, bud.
Right. Love and respect.
See you, Wayne.
Can you comment, Hatter?
Yeah, I was almost into that wife looking over what you eat, taking away all the good stuff. When I was hired, when I got this one job, I had to go through a strenuous physical and IQ and mental, all these tests. And my wife was so happy because she said, oh, they're going to test your cholesterol, and I know it's going to be off the charts, and you're going to quit eating so much fried food. So I went and had the test, and my cholesterol came out to 200, and I didn't know what was a bad number, what a good number. So the whole ride home, I'm going, oh, man, 200, that doesn't sound good. Actually, that's a very good number, right, 200?
I don't think it's a bad number.
Yeah, it wasn't high. So she was actually pissed.
Well, that happens sometimes.
Well, you know, metabolisms. I was working hard, and didn't matter what I ate because I burned it off so fast. But almost got to that point where she was just boneless chicken breasts. Skinless chicken breasts and some broccoli for dinner. And, oh, hey. That's what it reminded me of. Jerry did a good job writing it. Just one bite. Cupcake is a cake. Jeez.
Well, it's a little tiny one normally, but the one that Gerald chose is a sizable cupcake for sure. But Hatter, I'd be willing to venture a guess that right now your cholesterol would probably be a bit higher than 200. And then you would blame it on Joy and her cooking, if I'm not mistaken. It would be Joy's fault.
I got four pair of brand new jeans I can't get into, and it's all her fault. She knows it.
Oh, my gosh, that's an old story. You've been blaming that poor woman for those jeans for years now. Just saying.
For being such a good cook.
Uh-huh.
I'm trashing you, Joy. Yeah.
Trashing you while he compliments you. How about that? She's such a good cook. It's all her fault. We won't talk about blueberry muffins.
Every time she cooks a certain dinner, I tell her that's the number two on my restaurant menu. That's the number three. That's the number one.
As I said, yeah. we won't discuss blueberry muffins.
She got something for me. Thank you.
Uh-oh. Aw. He's so sweet. Can you hear me? Hi, Joy.
She says, hi, Joy. She says, hi. I got my headset on.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, usually I can hear her, but I can't tonight. But it's all good.
She's got a bit of what? Say it louder.
Hi, Joy.
Hi, Joy. Yep. Live. Yep.
Okay. Now, let me see. I have... Dave was going to read this one, but he had to bow out. Something came up there at the house. So I will read that for her. It's the last poem for tonight. And then I will go over what's up and coming in the poetry world. Okay, this is a beautiful white rose and a brevity to go with it that is a gold-winning brevity. And it's called Your Kiss by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. As the first rose of spring deepens her blush, as the sun's buttery rays smile on her, the strawberry pink of my cheeks glows in appreciation of your kiss. Oh, end poem. That's a very tender brevity. See, even with just 29 words, she can make you go, oh, with the romantic feel of it at the end. But I like the thought of the glow from appreciation of a kiss. There's just something so sweet about that. And the first rose of spring. I guess here's a second time tonight. Something that my dad used to always say popped into my mind. Of course, this is the first rose of spring, but I can remember him saying to one person or another over the years, what is that? You smell like the last rose of summer. And that, it was not a compliment. So, yeah, I guess my dad is on my mind a lot. Yeah.
So what's the last rose of summer supposed to smell like?
Obviously not something good, because he never said it as a kid.
Okay.
The last, I don't know, I guess sometimes ones that are dying off get a funk to them. But, yeah, that's what he would say. You smell like the last rose of summer. And, yeah. But St. Patrick's Day is the anniversary of his death, so I guess that's probably why he's been on my mind.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to get sidetracked. Angel, beautiful poem. Congratulations on the gold. Honored to be your reader and appreciate you for writing for the show. And great job. See here. Let's see here. Tomorrow night. And then again on Wednesday night, the host is Sky Darkholm.
So tomorrow
night, I believe it'll be around 9 o'clock. But she will be concluding the musical March shows with The Sound of Music, and as always, she.
Oh yeah.
Write to the songs, you can write to the characters, you can write to a quote from the movie. And she always shares great information about the shows. They are very entertaining. And yeah, it's not marked, but I do believe it's in the area of 9 o'clock. So just keep an eye out for tomorrow and you see the date. And then she will also be there. I'm trying to find her a topic. Where is Sky?
Four.
There it is. Okay. The Silmarillion, Volume 1, The Music of Ainur. So she's got, it's a new series, and she will be featuring it. And you can, again, write to any quotes or any of the prompts below. And she's got information that you can check out to inspire your muse. Oh, she's got a lot of great information, and she's got some pretty cool art to choose from, too. So that's probably what I'll do. I'll probably choose one of these pictures and go to town on it. And that is Wednesday night. And then Sweet was telling us earlier what will be happening on Thursday, and her shows go live at 10 p.m., and it's part two of her Legend show. She's got a whole list of really cool, I guess I don't want to say critters, because there's all kinds of different legends from people's towns that you might have heard of. And why am I having such a hard time finding this? Sweet Pea. Here we go. Local folklore. That's the word I couldn't think of. Folklore. And hometown mysteries. And she's got so many golems, oni, cyclops, ogres, leprechauns, gnomes, goblins. Oh, I have some gnomes ones. Fairies, Gorgon, the mermaid. So there's all kinds of 15 werewolves, phoenix, griffins, dragons, Bigfoot. So the list, she really did put a lot of into vampires, the boogeyman. So there's some really cool choices there, 10 o'clock on Thursday. And then I believe it's Strange Stuff Around the World, Friday, Hatter.
Unmuted. Yeah, I'm talking away.
There you go.
Yeah. We'll be updating the advancements on AI. It's going to come really fast to us, and it's going to be ugly. And it's going to be weird, sort of strange, how everybody's going to deal with it. Like the entertainment industry, they have these computers that sound better than the original artist singing songs in the style of that artist that the artist never sang. They call them, like, if it's Taylor Swift, they call it fake Taylor Swift. And that is now an artist that can be marketed without copyright infringement. Can you believe that? It's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly.
Wow. The first time you covered AI, it was really interesting. So, and there's so many different approaches that you can take to it that several shows probably.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably update it every show. There'll be probably something to talk about. But yeah, wow.
Bad and the ugly involved with AI, that's for sure. And that's Friday at 9. And then Saturday at 9, we have Open Poetry with AP Taylor, and that brings us back to my show next week at 10, continuing with the color series. Next week, the prompts are all blue. So I am about to put the link on the board. You can click on and pick your prompt. And I look forward to seeing where everybody takes their prompts. That note, well, first I want to thank my amazing board. Hatter and Sweet Pea and Mr. A.P. Taylor, who is also our sponsor. And I want to say thank you to David and Wayne for hanging out all night. And I want to say thank you to Titus and Angel and Gerald and Addie. I appreciate all the awesome poetry, and I appreciate all of you for spending time with me every Monday and sending in poetry. And as I've been doing for the last couple weeks, we are going to go out with a song by Papa Roach. The song is called Leave the Light On, and it is a song that if you hear it on the radio or if you go to YouTube and push play or you download it, each time that the song is played, a donation is being made to the Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And there is the new easy text number, which is 988, which of course will take you directly to them. And then there, of course, there's always the original phone, and I'm trying to find out right now, because usually they're together, and they were the last time I looked. Let me see here. Anyway, it's a really beautiful song, and like I said, what better way to listen to a song than to know that just because you listen to a great song, a donation was made to a good cause. Again, that's 988. And I can't believe that this... I know, you can hear the typing. But that happens. And it seems like that they're pushing the 988 so hard that you can't find the 800 number anymore. 800. And even when I put 800 there, that it take, here we go. Okay. 1-800-273-TALK. And with that phone number or the 988, there's someone there 24 hours a day willing to listen. Call them, call a friend, call a family member, just call somebody. And again, Papa Roach, leave the light on.
Dry bones rattling, a lonely soul slipped and fell into a deep black hole. I can tell you're lost, I'm here for you. Wildfires burning you down to stone, blind eyes turning from a world so cold. A million miles apart within my reach. It's not like me to worry when I see you fading in the dark. I'll leave a light on for you. Through the long night I will be right there for you. If you drift too far, following an endless drought to wash away the remnants of all your doubt. I hope that you'll see me looking out.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Hatter. See you next week.
My Deb.
Love and respect.